That's Julian Siddle reporting. It's 14 past six. Well, if you were anywhere near Europe last month, you'd know it's been a pretty hot summer, with extreme heat in Russia crippling the country's wheat production. Russia is the fourth largest wheat producer in the world. Wheat futures for September hit $7.11 a bushel yesterday. That's a 50% increase on the month of June. The price hike came a day after Russia cut its forecast for the country's 2010 grain output. Welcome news for our wheat farmers here, who can expect a bumper crop and then strong prices after years of drought. But how will the skyrocketing wheat price impact on global food supplies? And could we see a repeat of the 2007-08 global food crisis? Per Pinstrup Andersen is one of the world's leading food experts. He's a professor of food, nutrition and public policy at Cornell University. He joins us this morning from Copenhagen. Per, welcome to ABC Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you very much.
Per, why should the world, or should the world, be concerned about Russia's wheat production and the drop in wheat production this year?
I think what we should really be concerned about is the way that food prices are being developed these days. What is really driving this 50% increase in wheat prices is not a shortage of wheat in the world. We got plenty of wheat. It is simply speculation on the futures market. There are people who believe that, who expect that wheat prices will continue to go up, and they are pouring immense amounts of money into buying contracts for future delivery, which, of course, they never intend to take.
But speculation can only warp prices for so long, can't they, if the actual volume of the product is there?
That's exactly right. But what is likely to happen, possibly over the next who knows how long, month or two, is that people will continue to buy more contracts, and they will continue to pour money into wheat futures. But you're absolutely correct. This is a short-term price bubble. This is not caused by a shortage of wheat in the market, and therefore it's probably not going to last for very long. I can't tell you whether it's going to last for half a year or for a year and a half. If I could tell you that, I would be a very rich man at the end of the period, but it is clearly not a long-term shortage of food, and it's certainly not a repetition of the 2007-2008 food crisis.
Okay, so let's deal with the impact of the Russian fires and the Russian drought, because Russia is the world's fourth largest wheat producer, and its wheat crop has been cut significantly. In the short term, within this bubble that might be a speculative bubble, nevertheless, is the drop in Russia's wheat crop having any impact, or is that offset by, for instance, a bumper crop in the US?
No, it won't be totally offset. There are, of course, bumper crops in a few other places, but we also have other weather problems. In Canada, for example, heavy rains are going to cut back on production, floods in Pakistan, a number of other places. The current estimates are that the global wheat production will be about 30 million tons less this year than last year. That's somewhere between 3-4% less. But what's so different this time from what we saw in 2007 is that we now have huge stocks of grain around the world. India alone has 60 million tons of grain in stock. India's problem right now is they don't have warehouses to accommodate that amount of stock, and therefore they are seeing rotting taking place. China has huge amounts of grain in stock, and many, many other countries. In fact, during the last 2 or 3 years, the stock levels of grain has gone up by about 30%, and much of that is wheat. So that's not the way it was 3 years ago when the stock levels were quite low.
It's almost the reverse problem. There is something else going on, though, in terms of our consumption globally of food, which is that emerging market consumers are eating more meat, aren't they? And more meat also means a higher demand for grain, doesn't it? Will that have an impact over time, perhaps in 10 years' time, a significant impact
does.
On the demand for grain and therefore the price of grain?
Yes, absolutely, it certainly does. That is not the increase in meat consumption in middle and high income developing countries, particularly including China and so on, is a long-term upward push on demand for grain, absolutely. But that is not causing the kind of bubbles and disruptions that we're talking about now. That's a long-term increase in demand, as you pointed out. Absolutely. So we have to produce more food in the long term, no question about it. But what we really need is a set of policies that will help farmers and consumers deal with these increasing price fluctuations in food. We're going to have to learn to live with increasing price volatility for food, partly because of climate change and partly for other reasons, including the speculation and the various very nervous government policies. For example, Egypt has just entered into a contract for a huge amount, importing a huge amount of wheat. That, of course, would push up the wheat prices, and they're doing this because they are worried that wheat prices are going to be higher.
Mm.
If the Russian government decides to put a brake on export of wheat, could put an export stop on wheat, that, of course, would push up the international prices for wheat. If you remember back when the rice prices increased back in the early 2008, over a period of a few months, the rice price tripled, but we never had so much rice in the market when it happened. It simply happened because some countries, such as India, Vietnam, Cambodia, and a few other major exporters, decided to stop exporting rice. That pushed up the international rice prices dramatically.
Mm.
It had nothing to do with the lack of supply. It was simply government policy.
Market madness. Per, thank you very much for joining us.
Market madness, that's a good way to put it.
thank you very much for joining us, Per.
My pleasure.
Per Pinstrup-Anderson is a professor of food, nutrition and public policy at Cornell University, joining us there from Copenhagen. And, of course, the whole issue of food security took centre stage in the election campaign this week. Agriculture Minister Tony Burke announced a re-elected government will draw up a national food security plan, and the coalition has already made a promise to add a food security minister to cabinet if it's elected. It's 6:26 on RM Breakfast.